systems to bypass key shuttle managers, unquote. Section 5. U.S. House Committee Hearings. The U.S. House Committee on Science and Technology also conducted hearings, and on October 29, 1986, released its own report on the Challenger accident. The committee reviewed the findings of the Rogers Commission as part of its investigation, and agreed with the Rogers Commission as to the technical cause of the accident. However, it differed from the committee in its assessment of the accident's contributing causes. Quote, "The committee feels that the underlying problem which led to the Challenger accident was not poor communication or underlying procedures as implied by the Rogers Commission conclusion. Rather, the fundamental problem was poor technical decision-making over a period of several years by top NASA and contractor personnel, who failed to act decisively to solve the increasingly serious anomalies in the solid rocket booster joint." Unquote. Section 6. NASA Response. After the Challenger accident, further shuttle flights were suspended, pending the results of the Rogers Commission investigation. Whereas NASA had held an internal inquiry into the Apollo 1 fire, its actions after Challenger were more constrained by the judgment of outside bodies. The Rogers Commission offered 9 recommendations on improving safety in the space shuttle program, and NASA was directed by President Ronald Reagan to report back within 30 days as to how it planned to implement those recommendations. In response to the Commission's recommendations, NASA initiated a total redesign of the Space Shuttle's solid rocket boosters, which was watched over by an independent oversight group, as stipulated by the Commission. NASA's contract with Morton Thiokol, the contractor responsible for the solid rocket boosters, included a clause stating that in the event of a failure leading to loss of life or mission, Thiokol would forfeit $10 million of its incentive fee and formally accept legal liability for the failure. After the Challenger accident, Thiokol agreed to, quote, voluntarily accept, unquote, the monetary penalty in exchange for not being forced to accept liability. NASA also created a new Office of Safety, Reliability, and Quality Assurance, headed as the Commission had specified by a NASA associate administrator who reported directly to the NASA administrator. George Martin, formerly of Martin Marietta, was appointed to this position. Former Challenger flight director Jay Green became chief of the safety division of the directorate. The unrealistically optimistic launch schedule pursued by NASA had been criticized by the Rogers Commission as a possible contributing cause to the accident. After the accident, NASA attempted to aim at a more realistic shuttle flight rate. It added another orbiter, Endeavour, to the space shuttle fleet in order to replace Challenger, and it worked with the Department of Defense in order to put more satellites in orbit using expendable launch vehicles rather than the shuttle. In August 1986, President Reagan also announced that the shuttle would no longer carry commercial satellite payloads. After a 32-month hiatus, the next shuttle mission, STS-26, was launched on September 29, 1988. Although significant changes were made by NASA after the Challenger accident, many commentators have argued that the changes in its management structure and organizational culture were neither deep nor long-lasting. After the Space Shuttle Columbia disaster in 2003, attention once again focused on the attitude of NASA management towards safety issues. The Columbia Accident Investigation Board concluded that NASA had failed to learn many of the lessons of Challenger. In particular, the agency had not set up a truly independent office for safety oversight. The Columbia Accident Investigation Board felt that in this area, quote, NASA's response to the Rogers Commission did not meet the Commission's intent. Unquote. The Columbia Accident Investigation Board believed that, quote, the cause of the institutional failure responsible for Challenger have not been fixed, unquote, saying that the same, quote, flawed decision-making process, quote, that had resulted in the Challenger accident was responsible for Columbia's destruction 17 years later. Section 7, Popular Impact. Section 7.1, Media Coverage. While the presence of New Hampshire schoolteacher Krista McAuliffe on the Challenger crew had provoked some media interest, there was little live coverage of the launch. The only live national coverage was provided by CNN. After the accident, however, 17% of respondents in one study reported that they had seen the shuttle launch, while 85% said that they had learned of the accident within an hour. As the authors of the paper reported, quote, only two studies have revealed more rapid dissemination of news, unquote. One of those studies was of the spread of news in Dallas after President Kennedy's assassination, while the other was the spread of news of President Roosevelt's death among students at Kent State. Another study noted that even those who were not watching television at the time of the disaster were almost certain to see the graphic pictures of the accident replayed as the television networks reported the story almost continuously for the rest of the day. Children were even more likely than adults to have seen the accident live, since many children, 48% of 9 to 13-year-olds, according to a New York Times poll, watched the launch at school. After the day of the accident, press interest remained high. While only 535 reporters were accredited to cover the launch, 3 days later, there were 1,467 reporters at Kennedy Space Center and another 1,040 at Johnson Space Center. The accident made headlines in newspapers worldwide, including the Sydney Daily Mirror and the Daily Mail. Section 7.2, Use as Case Study. The Challenger accident has frequently been used as a case study in the study of subjects such as engineering, safety, the ethics of whistleblowing, communications, and group decision-making. Roger Boisjoli, the engineer who had warned about the effect of cold weather in the O-rings, left his job at Morton Thiokol and became a speaker on workplace ethics. He argues that the caucus called by Morton Thiokol managers, which resulted in a recommendation to launch, quote, constituted the unethical decision-making forum, resulting from intense customer intimidation. Universities such as Texas A&M and the University of Texas have also used the accident in classes of ethics of engineering. The graphic designer Edward Tuft has used the Challenger accident as an example of the problems that can occur when information is incorrectly presented. He argues that if Morton Thiokol engineers had more clearly presented the data that they had on the relationship between cold temperatures and burn-through in the solid rocket booster joints, they might have succeeded in persuading NASA management to cancel the launch. Section 7.3, References in Popular Culture. In 1990, a television movie called Challenger was made about the events leading up to the launching of the shuttle. It was announced in May 2006 that another movie about the accident would be made, also called Challenger. The movie was to be directed by Philip Kaufman and would focus on the role of Richard Feynman in the ensuing investigation. The Challenger accident has also been referenced in numerous other television shows and movies. An episode of the NBC television series Punky Brewster, entitled Accidents Happen, first aired March 9, 1986, dealt with the title character's reaction to the disaster as she watched it on TV at school. In past episodes, Punky had shown interest in becoming an astronaut, and now she was terrified that she might meet the same fate. The episodes dealt with how she should not let that fear get in her way. The Farscape episode, Kansas, involved the main character traveling back in time in order to stop his astronaut father from becoming a crew member on the Challenger mission. The movie Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, was dedicated to the memory of the Challenger crew, quote, whose courageous spirit shall live to the 23rd century and beyond, unquote. French electronic artist Jean-Michel Jarre had composed a track on his album Rendezvous, which he intended to be performed by Challenger astronaut Ronald McNair, a saxophonist and personal friend of Jarre. After McNair's death, Jarre dedicated the album to his memory and performed a free concert in Houston in memory of the Challenger astronauts. John Denver also wrote a tribute to the crew of the Challenger on his album One World, released June 1986. The song was called Flying for Me and ended with a 73-second instrumental to commemorate the flight's duration. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the GNU Free Documentation License, available at www.gnu.org/copyleft/fdl.html.